In this episode of Cubs Out Loud Drag Race, Damon and Gary talk about the 10th episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. And tonight's episode is Murder on the Dance Floor and this mashup dance challenge. Listen in as the guys come face to face with their feelings on the sickening six queens left in the competition. Who's waltzing their way to the crown and who just might be two-stepping their way out the door? Who's approaching the final lap? As COL Drag Race Episode 10 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Welcome. It is May 7th, 2015 to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, episode number 10.
10.
Woo. Mm-hmm. All the digits.
All the digits. All them digits.
And I, of course, am Gary. With me is my ever fabulous co-host.
Hello, everyone. It's Damon. How are you bitches doing?
And it has been a week.
I am sure. And I am sure that the wonderful like heat snap or heat wave that is occurred on the East Coast is not helping things at all. I'm spitzing.
I'm spitzing for more than one reason. As you know, it's this episode this week, I tell you. So let's get this out of the way. Feedback, we had some likes to the video or to the post, but you know, not necessarily comments necessarily about what we said. So feel free to comment if you want.
By all means, comment. It helps us. It helps us help you. Help us help you.
All right. So this week was episode 10 of season 7, RuPaul's Drag Race. Title of the episode is Prancing Queens, which I think is a dud of a title, but that's just me.
Yeah, it'll do.
Yeah, I wasn't super excited about the title, but I get why they named it that. But anyways.
Yeah.
All right. First impressions for this episode. Pairs yet again. I see a theme. Every time it's even contestants, they get paired up.
Huh.
It's really annoying at this stage because we were down to six.
Yeah. And
I will come back to the significance of the number later in the show, but I wasn't mad. I was just bothered by the fact that they were put into pairs again, because at this stage we're more than halfway and I would like them to compete individually.
I understand that. I as much as I appreciate the pairs challenge, and this challenge in particular was an interesting one, I prefer at this point that we're no longer looking for the best team. We're looking for the best one. The one who kind of stands out. And granted, it was a good challenge, but at the same time, it we don't need to worry about how well they're doing in challenges together as groups or as pairs or as, you know, like last week's where they had the 2, 2, and 3. You know, we don't need to focus on that so much. We need to see these girls start shining in their own unique ways, as it were. So yeah, that's kind of what I feel. Like, I feel what you mean. Like, we need to get over this pairs challenge thing. We need to start moving towards individuals doing things, enjoying things. So
what about you, Damon? What were your first impressions?
Oh, see, I always have to go back to the doc because I write stuff down and then I forget. So what was up with this challenge? That was kind of my thing. Even though I liked it, I was kind of like, this is an interesting thing. It's an interesting twist on on everything. Because, okay, so for those who haven't seen the episode, if you haven't seen the episode, why are you watching us? Hi. But unless you love us, but that's beside the point. Ultimately, the main challenge was they got into pairs and they did a mashup of two dance styles. And then on top of that, to dance the dance style, they then had to do half and half their girl, their drag persona, or female drag, and then them as a guy. And I just was like, I was really, I got it once it started going. But when they like mentioned it, I was kind of going, what is this? What is this? Why are we doing this? What's this? What's this here? What is this? I don't get it.
Yeah, I too was puzzled by the half and half arrangement. I appreciated in Raja and Raven's fashion photo review on YouTube when they were talking, and no, it wasn't them. When John and John did their relap or their last lap recap, whatever they call it, and Alaska was a special guest.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about how they would go to this challenge. And Alaska first says, I don't know why they did sides. I would have done top and bottom. So oh. I would have been fish to the waist. And then I would have wore some nice pants.
Leave it to Alaska to make
or and then she I think she changed her mind and said or I don't think she said or, but then she also said, or I would break it into like fourths or thirds. So I would be girl from like, you know, maybe here up. And then boy for like the midriff or whatever, and then girl to the knee and then boy to the foot or something like that. Like basically cutting up the body in different ways. And then one of the Johns said, I would have done the front half as girl and the back half as boy. Like basically they were talking about like kind of flipping it around. I have a feeling for this challenge. They were told exactly how they were going to do it.
Yeah. I bet they were told.
I also think they were given the outfits. I think they were given the initial tuxedo style half boy with a nude, bodysuit onesie from the crotch to the shoulder, you know, to the neck over to the shoulder. So it was a base outfit to modify. Cause when I watched it a lot this week.
Yeah.
Part of it was because there was a very specific sound clip I was looking for and I couldn't fucking find it. And then I finally found it tonight, right before we recorded, cause it was on Untucked and not on the episode, but
aha.
I paid attention because I started looking more and more as to how original they got with their looks. Some of them added collars, added a bow tie, added like hems. I mean, they did some things to kind of zhuzh up the base. And I realized all the bases look identical.
True.
So I have a funny feeling they were given a base like outfit you could buy online. And then the sewing, quote unquote, the challenge was to modify what you were given.
Yeah.
So as an example, Trixie and Ginger were paired up and they had little handkerchiefs sticking out of their male side back pocket.
Ah.
But nobody else was.
Yeah. There were some. I guess go through the pairs and the challenge since I've got it here on my fun little notepad. And we'll talk about the mini challenge here in a minute, but it was, Violet and Katya who had the tango and Vogue. It was Kennedy and Pearl who had the Charleston and, twerking, which seems stupid. And then Ginger and Trixie had country and robot. And I think when they said country, they meant like country line dancing, country, like contra dancing kind of thing. So it was yeah, well, we'll talk more about that in a minute. But So,
they I think they were given base outfits that they ended up modifying. I too, however, was kind of like, huh? Like when I heard what they were gonna do.
Yeah.
So let's move on to thoughts on the episode. Talk about what kind of took place. Well, first, Damon, let's talk about the mini challenge.
Yes. Okay. Oh God, the mini challenge was hilarious. For the mini challenge, they were given ultimately like scotch tape and told to give themselves makeovers, quote unquote, plastic surgery with the tape. And then they did a fake Housewives of RuPaul's Drag Race promo scene thing. And oh, this was funny. I loved it. I loved what people did with it. two things. I think Katya did a really great job with the, I think she was the one that kind of, was it Katya or Trixie? One of them put like a whole, like basically made like this like mask of, it was Katya, mask of tape on their face to kind of like disfigure them even more. And it was Katya because she was the one that was married to the serial killer, and how the best thing about being married to a serial killer is that you're always like basically doing cardio or always running. Fear for your life is great for the skin or something. I forget what she said, but it was just, it was hilarious. I loved it. And then the second one was they did, Violet had a very pronounced nose and did this very fun little things with her, and they called her Kelly Mantle. Because if you compared Violet to Kelly Mantle, and I wish they had done it in the episode, like put them side by side or something, I would have been like, yeah, she kind of does. I'm not hating it, but
I too thought it was funny she got clocked for looking like Kelly Mantle. I thought that was spot on. It made me laugh when that comment was made. I was like, oh girl, yep, I totally see it. So the mini challenge was fun, silly. Yet again, winning the mini challenge is very, very important.
Yeah.
Violet wins. Violet picks the teams.
Yep.
And yeah, I was like, I don't know why, for some reason this season, it seems so apparent that the queens are forgetting that mini challenges more often than not mean you get power, and that power, while only minor in the grand scheme of the entire show, is incredibly incrementally important to your personal success.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's just one of these things where you can't half-ass the challenges, because they are mini challenges. They're challenges. Even though they're small, they're still a challenge. They're meant to show RuPaul, even if it's just RuPaul, something that she needs to see or something important or something, you know. Right. It gives you a benefit some of the time, not all the time, but it gives you some kind of benefit or extra or perk or. But at the same time, I wonder if some of these girls are intentionally not winning the challenges so that they don't have to deal with that potential pressure of like this one where you have to pick the teams or you have to, do this or the other. I could just see that being potentially a bit of a strategy move. Maybe.
It could be, but this gets to my thoughts on this episode. While the individual performance is important, teams matter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And that comes about when it comes to the end of the episode. Yeah. And that's the thing that it really comes down to is, yes, your individual performance is important, because ultimately when it's you and someone else lip syncing for your lives, at that moment, being an individual is the priority.
Yeah.
But when you're matched up with somebody else, you are judged as a team. Like you are seen together. So therefore, that's really kind of key. And That's the part that I really got out of this episode was, no matter what you may think, you've got to work with the other person that you're with. And as an example, very interestingly, Katya and Violet work together. They work together very well. And Katya even said to her, you know, working with you was better than I expected.
Which is true.
Yeah. And I think that said a lot about Violet. I think, you know, that I think it's kind of a you, I may have had an impression of you or I think of you a certain way, but us doing this thing together shows that you are, you know, dedicated, professional. Do you know what I mean? Like you have your head on, so on and so forth. So, yeah.
Yes, like I agree. Like the, as much as this is ultimately an individual winning contest, like at the main goal is you're the person who wins at the end. You have to realize that you do have to do these challenges, these team challenges or these group challenges as pairs, and where it's really easy to try to make yourself look good. It doesn't necessarily help you if the rest of your team or the person next to you is floundering, you know, it, and especially when you are grouped and judged as a team.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is do you, but make you work in the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What were your thoughts?
Ultimately, I put this where talent fails, rely on the other parts. As we know, RuPaul, although she hasn't said it much this week, this season, you need to rely on your charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And where talent falls, rely on your other things. The talent, this challenge was particularly hard. And this would, I would consider a talent challenge. You can ham it up and be whatever, but if you don't know how to dance, you can't, you know, it's going to show. This is where, you know, learning that choreography, they were choreographed, they had to learn the choreography and everything. That's was important, and that's what they needed. So you needed that talent and that ability in order to do it. If you couldn't do it, then rely on those other things, your charisma, your uniqueness, your nerve, you know, barrel through it, have fun doing it, be you doing it. Because if nothing else, at least you've got those. Where that talent will fall, you'll do well. For example, Pearl and Kennedy had the Charleston twerk, and the judges indicated that Pearl was rhythmically challenged. but at the same time, she looked like she was having fun. She looked like she was enjoying it. She looked, she had that personality of her own kind of going with it. And that's what I liked about it, where you had Kennedy, who was on point for the whole like thing, like doing really good with everything and having fun with it, and was talented, had the talent, had the dance behind, you know, talent to back it up. It added to Pearl to, even though she wasn't the greatest at it, to have fun with it and enjoy it, or at least look like she was having fun and enjoying it. So when talent falls, yeah.
I agree that I think you're pretty spot on in that there are four key areas that Rue's looking at. And if you're deficient in 25% of it, that other 75% better carry your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's about all you got to rely on.
Yep.
Because you can be cute, you can be pretty, you can be sweet. Not enough.
Nope.
I don't know if there's really anything else to say. It's hard because we're at this stage now where more is expected.
Yeah.
The longer you last, and in a way that's not fair, but that's the way it is.
No. I was probably going to put that as one of my second thoughts, but I realized that this is where we are now is we're gunning for top five. We're gunning for, you know, the win. This is not the time to falter is not a good word, but to half-ass anything. You go for it each and every time. You go for it for the mini challenges. You go for the win for the main challenges. Because if you don't, you might be in the bottom. And it's just as easy this time around because there's not as many other people to look at that you can very easily go from here to here and see your ass home. I mean, it's just that easy to go from the top to the bottom because there are so few of the girls on the show being judged.
Right, because now you can't be in the middle, you can't hide.
No, you cannot hide. No.
Yeah. You're part of what's completely visible for the judges.
I like that. That's going to be my other, like, you can't hide. You can't hide.
All right. You ready for our next segment?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Uptown, downtown, turn the beat around town. Hip hopping, bebopping, New York City beat. All right. Thoughts on Untucked? The behind the scenes. I got like two main thoughts, three comments.
Okay.
The first one is hormones are raging.
Ooh, girl.
they was honest.
Yeah.
About how they was honest about the struggle is real. or instead of saying the struggle is real, maybe it's more like the thirst is real.
The thirst is real, yes.
And I think it's interesting that of all the seasons, this seems to be the season of sex.
Yes.
And by that I mean like they're being very honest about being alone, being away from outlets.
Yeah.
Ones. I mean, like they're struggling. And at this stage of it, if it truly is a week
between per episode. Yeah. I don't think it is, but
I don't think it is. I think it's more like half weeks, but I think if it's truly weeks at a time, it's 2.5 months.
Yeah.
I think it's more realistic that it's like, I think an episode is like every 3 days, maybe.
Mm.
So I think if that's the case, then they're actually more at like 5 weeks, but still, you know, that's a long time.
Man.
5 weeks. 5 weeks without your man.
Without your man, yes.
A 5 weeks of them are married or, you know, got in relationships.
5 weeks. It's 5 weeks without physical contact with someone you're not spending 24 hours with. Like, these people over here, like, you're with these girls, you're doing this all this time, and yeah, you can kai-kai all you want, but maybe. I don't know. If girls are kai-kaiing in the show ever, I want to know. Like, I was like, I don't think I want to know, but I'm like, no, I want to know. Like, if you, like, in episodes past, I would love to find out if, like, Raven and Jujubee, like, got it on, like, you know, because they lonely and or anything, you know.
Yeah.
That's just an example, America. I don't think they did. Actually, I'm pretty sure they didn't, because I think at the time. Anyway, but anyway, yeah. You know, it makes me wonder if they're, because, you know, you get needs. I mean, and.
Well, remember, we learned in the very first episode about the rules, some of the rules, and that there were post-it notes. And that you put a post-it note underneath the door, and then, you know, they would try to get you things that you needed. So, for all we know, they all might have been asking for copies of, you know, magazines, hand jobs, as in the print publication. You know what I mean? Like, you know, things to just kind of get them by, you know, and if they was smart, they might have packed a fleshlight or, ooh, you know,
something. Then, might be. I don't know. But this, I will own that this is the first time that we've got this like realistic view of the lives of these girls doing the show. Like, you realize they're away from lovers and friends for quite a while, and there's no I'm assuming there's got to be, there may not be TV. I don't think there's TV. You know, there may be DVD, there may be like some kind of movies. They probably can't watch real TV because they probably, there might be some difficulty with them having access to the outside world, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, they probably, all they've got ultimately is, I would assume, music of some kind. I would assume, you know, books and literature and reading materials, and maybe movies or DVDs of, you know, popular movies or whatever that they, I don't know if they can bring them or not, but either way, that's all their entertainment. I don't, as far as I know, I don't think they go out, you know, I don't think they get an opportunity to interact socially with other people. You know, and if that's the case,
and yeah, I think they only interact with the crew.
Yeah.
The producers and the crew and the cast, quote unquote, and that's it.
Yeah.
Which helps you focus, but at the same time can be very disruptive because that's not how we live our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, hormones are raging.
Oh, yeah.
That was very evident this episode. Also, in Untucked, practice makes perfect. Which ties to my final comment, which is careful where you point the blame finger.
Uh-oh.
And that comes from the very end of Untucked, when the person who is sent home blames their partner for them going home.
Ooh, yeah.
And that really kind of, it kind of torqued me a little because I understood what they meant, but what they actually said was that they were there because of their partner's deficiencies. And I was like, no, actually, the reason why you're packing your shit in the workroom is because you did not do as well / better than the other person on your team, on your duo, in the lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's about. And that's the part that kind of, you know, and that's why I say practice makes perfect, because out of that duo, notably, one of them practiced and listened. Mm-hmm. to that final song,
mm-hmm.
and the other one didn't. In fact, the other one said, I think I might have won.
Uh-huh.
And that's what another contestant says. Oh, okay, now you can go. Like, doesn't say it to their face, but says it a confessional to camera, like, and bye-bye. Like, you're done, girl, which I think is a natural response, because if I'd heard that, I would have been like, okay, bye. Like,
yeah.
I ain't got time to listen to you think that you won.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there thinking, like, girls, like, yeah, I agree with you. I agree that, like, especially the finger thing, like, don't, like, as they always say, you may be pointing your finger at one person, but you got four or five fingers pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Four fingers pointing back at you. Well, three fingers pointing back at you. You know, it's just, that makes perfect sense. I have a comment about it later. So as well. So,
well, why don't we move on to your thoughts on Untucked? And then after that, we'll talk about what happened,
what happened
stuff, who won and who went home.
Okay. So, my thoughts on Untucked is one of my main ones. My first one was they all get back in the workroom or in the backstage, and apparently no one feels safe. And everyone's like, why? And I'm kind of like, why does no one feel safe? And as we're, you know, because like we know because we see the episode and then we see Untucked, we know who was safe and who won and who was in the bottom kind of thing. We know that, you know, as we, before we watched this, usually before we watched Untucked, but it was surprising to me that certain people felt unsafe about it. Katya was one. Like, I don't get why she felt so unsafe when everything else, when I felt like she did one of the better jobs. But anyway, I don't get why people feel that way, why they felt unsafe, why they were kind of talking about that, especially at the beginning, about how they, someone's going home. I know someone's going home. And I think part of it is probably because we are so close. There's a bigger magnifying glass on you, as it were.
So. Well, I mean, to be fair, they have a 1 in 6 chance of going home.
Yeah.
And they know now that every critique matters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all 6 of them got critiques. Therefore, all 6 of them was like, is this the thing that sends me home?
True.
At the same time, notably, I think one person did not really feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There were 3 that, well, no, there were 2. 2 that felt they were going home. 2 mm-hmm. that thought they might go home.
Mm-hmm. And 2 that kind of were blasé about it, or?
Yeah, well, one particularly really kind of acted, or didn't give me the vibe that they thought they were going home.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in a second. What else did you think about it?
Well, the other thing was just the whole sex thing. Like the whole sex thing. Sex is on the mind. They were talking about Pearl. Like, Pearl was hot. And I'm like going, yes. In certain situations, I could see that, you know, being nice. And her dude side was very well done. I don't think he did much to it, but it just kind of added to it a little bit more. So Kennedy. Oh my God, Kennedy. Kennedy was like, I feel like she was this close to like grabbing Pearl and like blah blah, like because it was just there was a lot of comments from Kennedy about Pearl and his look and how hot she thought he was. And I was like, okay, I know you got a man at home. We know you got a man at home.
Yeah, I think that was part of the other oddity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just weren't prepared for knowing that a married man, married being a loose definition,
because
mm-hmm. I don't know if they're actually married or not, you know, that Kennedy was like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it to me, it was casually flirting kind of thing, but it was, she was very much speaking like about like how, you know, hot she thought he was and all this stuff. So it felt a little odd, but I kind of get it given that, like we've said, they're pretty much, they only have each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a prison.
I think that reference was made too in Untucked.
Yeah.
I think Trixie made that reference. So here's where things come about. Let's talk about who won and who went home.
Sure, sure thing.
Katya and Violet won.
Yeah.
And Ginger and Trixie were in the bottom 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they were in the bottom 2 And this is the part I wasn't happy about. RuPaul makes the decision slash announcement right before saying who did what. After judges' critiques, they all come back. Ru says that they will be judged as teams.
Mm-hmm.
Never revealed this ever before.
Yeah.
And I know that to be true by the way they behaved.
Yeah.
Had that been said sooner and or in like early when the challenge was announced, I think things would have been going differently.
Perhaps so.
But I think everyone was expecting to be judged individually. So I think that's the thing where, remember when I said earlier about like teams are important, individual, you know, is your priority, but you've got to pay attention to your teams.
Yeah.
This is why I said the even number thing kind of irked me, because we were down to six. I was expecting us to focus on the people, not the teams. And then Rue turns around and says, I'm judging you by teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, fuck. Because then it played out the way I thought it would. Katya and Violet won, which I think mm-hmm. they should have. I think they did theirs the best. I think they looked the best.
Yeah.
Kennedy and Pearl did okay. I thought they were in the middle of the pack. And just behind them, not significantly, but behind them was Trixie and Ginger.
Yeah. I will own that I thought I own that given if they had, like she said, since they did it as teams as opposed to individuals, it kind of made sense that Ginger and Trixie were in the bottom, because whereas with Katya and Violet, they kind of rose to the occasion, which is why I feel they won. And that was a well-deserved win. They, like you said, they looked the part, they did the dance really well. It was a really great job. Pearl and Kennedy, where Kennedy had the ability and talent to do the dance, Pearl brought her own kind of style to it. And even though she couldn't really do the dance, she still had fun with it and looked like she was enjoying it. So that kind of put them to me, that edged them out. Whereas Ginger and Trixie, although they did well, it looked like they were trying too hard, or not, maybe not, that's not what I'm looking for. It didn't look as good. Like, it looked like we're just going to try to get through this and do the best we can, and I don't think we're going to do that well, but let's try to do okay, you know. Although I feel like they did a pretty good job. I don't want to say it was bad. I will own, I did not like the country robot combination. Robot is a very tight, like, dance. And I don't even think they were really doing robot. You know, it just didn't feel, sounds bad. It didn't feel robotic enough. and maybe that was because of what they were doing, or that they weren't as good at it, but it just didn't feel as good. Whereas the twerking Charleston seemed to kind of flow, you know, a little bit more. And the tango Vogue was pretty freaking spectacular. So, yeah.
I also think the way they lined up, 3-2-1, 1-2-3, whichever way you want to say it. I think the dances put together were really good.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it, but I think Country Robot was the crappiest of the three.
Yeah.
Just purely as a mash, let alone how it was performed. So, yeah. You ready to move on to takeaways?
Sure thing.
All right. So for takeaways, the biggest thing that struck me out of this episode is about who's confident and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ginger yet again says in confessional, you know, doesn't feel good about this one, and notably says, I should stop winning because no sooner than I win, I end up in the bottom two.
Mm-hmm.
While that's partially true, you know, that the past, that these past four episodes, you know, win bottom two, win bottom two. I don't think that's a cycle indication that should be paid attention to, because technically, if that's the case, then she's going to win next week, because the way the pattern goes is first you win, then you're in the bottom two, then you win again. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're yo-yoing. So if that was actually accurate, then next week she wins.
Yeah.
Which would suck, because then she would make it to four.
Being the bottom.
Right. And then not make top three. But anyways, maybe not make top three. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I thought that was interesting. But, you know, Kennedy was pretty confident. Violet has been confident this entire season.
Yeah.
In a way that Bianca was, in a way that Sharon Needles was.
Yeah.
I'm definitely seeing the consistency from her week after week after week, and I'm really starting to see how everybody's hating her for it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like her confidence in the Katya and I won. Well, of course we did. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like this kind of, like, you know, I strive to be the best. Oh, and I am the best. I think that really kind of torques the rest of them. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, we've talked about this before, Damon. You know, headspace is key. And it's really, you know, coming down to that now, because Ginger got in her head that she's not a dancer and she's worried about people making fun of her and that she's going to do something to fuck it up. And she didn't fuck anything up, but she also didn't, you know, nail it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that confidence is the one thing that is very important in this show. Because it's very easy to not keep say hate saying keep saying that very easy. It's really easy to get in that bad mind frame of, this is not my bag, this is not what I do, so I don't know if I'm going to do well, blah 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 blah. And whereas Violet mentioned this in the Untucked, like, you know, she was saying, you know, acting and whatnot are not my thing, but I got through those challenges and I did really well and I did my best and I, you know, I'm still here kind of thing. And she felt, she kind of got pissy at Violet, or not Violet, she got pissy at Ginger because Ginger said, you know, this isn't my thing, so I'm not going to do as well. And she kind of, yeah, I feel that. That is the sign of the confidence is there. Like, even though this is not my thing, I'm going to work my ass off and do the best that I can and still be great. Even though I'm going to do my best. And if I do my best and that's all that it means, and if it means I'm in the bottom, so be it.
She said at the end of last episode, well, after Fame went home, in this episode, they showed from the end of the last interactions, you know, when she was wearing the ugliest dress in the workroom, she said, you know, in confessional, I'm going to bust my ass to stick around.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I have no intention of going home right now. And I think while that's all that we're seeing, and maybe all the rest of the girls are maybe giving some of that lip service, the truth of it is that she's delivering. She's saying, yeah, I'm not going home. And this is, you know, this is kind of the way it is. So yeah. That's what I mean by the confidence thing, you know, is a key piece of where they're at. Katya, Rue was correct when she says that Katya thrives on anxiety. It's her new addiction. So that's why I think she was very uncomfortable about whether or not she was going home. And again, it also speaks to her cycle. Every time she thinks she fucks it up and does horrible, she wins.
Yeah.
So we got that pattern down. We understand that whole thing. yeah, so I found that very interesting. My takeaway was who's confident and who's not and how that plays itself out. And it bites you in the ass. So I don't think we said it earlier, but so Ginger and Trixie are in the bottom two. They lip sync, and Trixie goes home.
Yeah, Trixie went home. Trixie was the opposite of the, like, kind of confident, really, like, showing that confidence, but still, like, it wasn't enough.
She made the mortal mistake that has happened every single season. Some queen thinks they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment they think they're safe, they go home. True. And Trixie said, I think I won this one. And I was like, and that's when Violet says in confessional, okay, you can go home now.
Yeah.
like bye girl. Like,
bye girl,
I've had enough of you. you've been back for 2 weeks. See ya. You know, like, and I can't blame Violet because the moment that came out of Trixie's mouth in Untucked, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Best be careful about the things that you say. And sure enough, she ended up in the bottom two. Now, she admits in confessional when she heard Rue say they were going to be judged as a team, Trixie says at that moment, I knew I was fucked. Like, God damn it. Because Ginger got the most critiques. Therefore, the two of us are probably going to end up in the bottom. And Ginger also said she didn't like the fact that she had to lip sync against Trixie. Mm-hmm. But she also said, I'm not going home.
No. And she didn't.
She didn't. And she didn't for a very good reason, but I'll get to that later.
Okay.
Yeah. So what about you? What were your thoughts on what
my takeaway from this episode is that the underdog is kind of growing on me. And by underdog, I mean Violet. Despite everything that, because she was the person that everybody hated. You know, no one really liked her. We had all the whole, like, she's the bitch of the season, blah, 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 blah. At the same time, this challenge, this episode in particular, shed a new light to me on her. I like your comparison of her to Bianca Del Rio in regards to confidence, because I get that. She's not as good as expressing that confidence in a, like, Bianca, when she was confident, she was able to show that off by her, you know, her jokes and her demeanor and still be like kind of this nice, goody, goody girl. Violet shows off her confidence a bit in a bit of a cocky kind of way, especially in the beginning, she was very confident in the beginning. And the reason she was very confident in the beginning, she had a lot going for her. You know, she didn't have a lot going for her, but she was still trying to do her best and she was doing really well and walking that runway and looking really great, whatever, whatever. But this episode in particular, her working with Katya, and she was humbled in a bit, in a way, in that, you know, I think we've got this. We're doing really good. She looked like she was enjoying herself. She looked like she was having fun. She didn't look like I'm gunning for all of you. I'm doing this. She just went into the challenge doing her best. And I think maybe it was because she was working with Katya and they kind of counterbalanced with each other, because Katya has that anxiety, addiction kind of thing. And whereas you have Violet, who has that confidence. So it kind of a nice little balance where it worked, where it meshed well and worked together to make them, I think, win. She's growing on me. I could see her in the top. Like, as much as I don't want to admit that, given what I've seen the past couple of weeks and given what she's been presenting now, she's gone through that, like, way through the safety zone and is now taking that upward spiral, upward, you know, climb to the win. She's coming from behind, as it were. I think she's doing a really good job at that. So that's sort of where my you know, where I feel like she's growing on me. She's growing on me. I don't hate her as much as I used to, nearly as much as I used to. But I like what she's done. And I'm not going to root for her per se, but I'm kind of go her, good for her. But I do have a new favorite.
Okay.
I think I've mentioned Ginger as one of my favorites. I am actually rooting now for Katya.
Mm.
I think despite her anxiety and issues sometimes, she every week has impressed me in some way, shape, or form, except for like the first couple of weeks when she, but for the most part, everything that she has done, every time she's lip synced, the time she lip syncs, the challenges, she's putting it all out there and she's doing her best. And I think she's doing better than a lot of the girls in the competition that are still left. And I hope So right now, if it were up to me, my top three would be Katya, Violet, and Ginger, maybe. Yeah, that's sort of where I'm at right now. Those are my top three. So we just got to get Pearl and Kennedy off. And as much as I love Kennedy, I don't see her being at the top, but that's just me. But yeah, that's sort of where I'm at right now. I have a new favorite, and I'm Team Katya. I will say that now. I am Team Katya. So unless she fucks it up next week, I think she's got it.
Okay. You ready for our next segment?
Hold on. Let me type this thing down.
That's okay.
Can't type shit right now. Okay.
It is yet again one of our favorite times of the entire show. Because, you know, this is all about Mrs. Kasha Davis. Tip a glass to her, you know.
There's always time for a cocktail.
Yes, ma'am. Time for snaps and eye rolls.
Yes.
All right. I have two things I'm giving snaps to this week. First one goes to Miss RuPaul and Matthew Anderson.
Oh.
The runway look. Wait for it. With a tearaway.
Yes.
Not only does the gown look gorgeous, she pulls this stunt where she walks what halfway down the runway, pauses, grabs the bottom, and just whoosh, throws it off stage.
Oh,
and then just keeps walking.
Oh, speaking of which, can we talk for a moment?
This whole thing,
this thing I just like pulled out the.
Which is actually an old thing. According to John and John on the last lap recap, that dress is over 10 years old.
Really?
Apparently she wore it once before, but it wasn't a tearaway at the time. So I have a funny feeling Matthew was like, you know, everything's in a vault, I imagine, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you think? Let's dig this shit out. Like, and thinking of what the episode's about, Prancing Queens, which is a twist on, you know, Dancing with the Stars.
Uh-huh.
How do we make you look like, you know, one of them dancing girls? Oh, well, we got that old, you know, gold coin looking, you know, thing. And knowing Rue would be like, I don't want it to be the same. Like we can wear it again, but let's change it. And that's where Matthew realized they could make it into a tearaway because it has a see-through, like, flesh tone fabric for the bottom half that all the dots are on. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really, really awesome dress. But real quick, one of the guest judges was Alyssa Milano.
Mm-hmm.
And I am glad that they put up front that the girl was pregnant. Because when she showed up on there, I was like, ooh, what happened to you? Life at the Charm has been terrible. But I just...
Yeah,
I
think during the course of the show they recorded when she was pregnant. I think she had her second child. Yeah. I think that was her second.
It caught me by surprise when they showed her and it's like, Alyssa Milano. I was like, that ain't no Alyssa Milano I know.
My favorite part is when Bruce says, so are you having a boy or a girl? And she quips right back and she says, can you tell I'm pregnant? Which there's a part of me, it's like, girl, your voice changed.
Yeah.
Like you got bigger because you're pregnant and your voice changed. It happens. So yeah, no, I thought that was great. Yeah. So no, I agree that she was one of the guest judges and she was in it. She was, you know, part of, she was not a ha ha ha. judge. Not a Latoya I hate Jackson. No offense. Yeah, I can't stand the judges that I don't know why they're there other than they're pretty and they have a name or a book or a movie coming out. Yeah. In this case, she definitely, you know, seemed to be a part of it. I love the back and forth about, like, maybe she'll name the baby RuPaula.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that that was all great. So, yeah, the tearaway snaps to that. My second snaps. So it took me till tonight to find this damn moment again. I thought it was in the regular show and that for some reason they had edited it out. Like, oh, it was there on Tuesday when I watched it. And then somehow between then and today, they like the show like even less for time frame. And I just wasn't able to spot this moment because the first time I watched it, I wrote my notes and Michelle has a feedback comment that slayed me. And I thought it was hysterical. And I wanted to make sure I got the clip and play it for tonight's show. And then I fucking couldn't find it. I watched that show at least, what, 3-4 more times. And it's like, it's playing in the background. And I keep listening because I'm waiting. I know exactly what's said. And I'm like, and every time I'm like, it's not there. And I'm like, don't tell me that they changed the show. Like that they edited it and took it out or whatever. And then I was watching Untucked, and for some reason, a couple times when Untucked was playing, you know, I wasn't paying enough attention. It wasn't until tonight, right before the show, I'm watching. Like, I legitimately paid attention to the show all the way through, and it wasn't there. And I'm like, all right, it's only got on one other place. It's got to be on Untucked. So sure mm-hmm. enough, I find it in Untucked. So this is about Pearl's rhythmic challenge issue when it comes to dancing. And during Judge's critique, they are discussing that Pearl can't twerk. Or at least she doesn't even come close to it. And consequently, she turns around and Michelle, one of the judges, and I don't think it's Michelle, one of the judges asked Pearl to twerk for them.
Carson.
Right. And she does. This is Michelle's comment right at that moment when Pearl turns around to twerk for everybody. Now, mind you, when she twerks, she doesn't stay upright.
She doesn't what?
She doesn't stay upright.
Yeah.
Because usually when you twerk, you don't bend over. You don't bend yourself in half. Hence, this is what Michelle says. Hey,
that's not twerking, honey. That's preparing.
Not twerking, honey. That's preparing.
Preparing. One of the best lines of the season. They should come out with a whole line. They should come out with a whole line of shirts with all these comments on them.
Preparing for what?
Oh, give me a break. Preparing for what? Yeah, it's more like turn down for what. she did. She looked like. And now it's funny that Michelle said preparing because I would have said presenting. Because that's exactly what it looked like. She done turned around and bent over, and I was like, oh. Girl, that's an invitation.
Hello.
Yeah, so that was my second snaps for the episode was when Michelle made that comment. That's not twerking, that's preparing. Now, that comes from her doing the Battle of the Seasons tour with all these girls for all these years now. Mm-hmm. And she just had, you know, been out on the road, you know, with the previous season, six gals and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, she was right there. And and that's what she does. She MCs the shows because Rue doesn't go. And so she's got a quip and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Eye rolls. Pearl's dancing.
Mm-mm-mm.
Girl. You are no dancer. Even Kennedy says there's a difference between choreography for the club and this kind of choreography. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know what Pearl's choreography is for the club, but yeah, it's no.
No.
And then my last eye roll took about the second or third time for me to figure out what my issue was. Like, you know how sometimes you're kind of like, what's the matter? Like, I'm in a cranky mood or something, you know, like you just, and you have to think about it or focus on it. And then you finally come around to, oh, that's what's going on. And I couldn't figure out with this episode what was bothering me about the split boy-girl outfit stuff. Mm-hmm. Until I got back about the second or third time I watched it, and then it finally clicked. And my issue is men with breasts.
Oh.
Half them girls wore a bra underneath that outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And out of habit, they stuff both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a boy side with a breast.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out what the hell the story was until one of the judges says, how good Violet looks. And I'm like, okay, why does Violet look so good? And then I started paying closer attention and I'm like, oh, she put a bow tie on the man's side. She made a thicker, you know, she made a little bit thicker eyebrow. She put that cheesy, you know, felt
twirly
based
mustache.
On, yeah, twirly mustache type deal. And when John pointed it out in their recap, she wore flats on the male side and a heel on the women's side.
Ah.
She executed boy from head to toe and girl from head to toe.
Yeah.
She's the only one. All the rest of them girls. Now, Katya might have worn flats just like Violet, but only because Violet did it. And she also, you know, had the matching, you know, half a bow tie, blah, blah, blah. But I started paying attention. Ginger got boobs on both sides. Kennedy's got boobs on both sides.
Yeah.
I was just so, and then I was so irritated. And so the men with breasts thing was something I was given eye rolls for. And then now that I watched it so many times this week, looking for that damn clip, I also got really irritated with the fact that when they were performing, whether they were doing runway or their choreography, they were failing to give the right face to the camera.
Mm.
And by that, I mean, like if they're being a boy, they were showing too much girl. And if they were girl, they were showing too much boy. Like, as an example, Ginger in the runway tries to give the boy side and uses her woman hand on the left to brush off the man's shoulder.
Uh-huh.
When they're dancing, she uses her left woman's hand to point very, like, masculine at Trixie. I mean, it was just – and I realized that it's little things, but kids were at that stage. They're top six, and these things start to matter after a while. And I think Violet was about the only one that was apparently very conscious of the line, of the eye line, and where the audience or the judges or the camera is, and to trying to not cheat. Way too many of them kept cheating, like, yeah, to get face to one side or the other. So when they were a girl, they would like do a like a 60% turn, you know, like just off a 90 to the 30. And the problem with that is now you can start to see the boy side.
Yeah.
And so there were little things, and a lot of them are right dominant handed, and all of them were identical, that the boy was on the right and the girl was on the left.
Yeah.
When they're wearing the outfit, so to speak. So a lot of them had a bad habit of using their right hand to do stuff. So like in the lip sync, Trixie notably is like doing a lot of these like, like, you know, queenie girl moves with her right hand while she's singing. And while, yeah, it's the lip sync and maybe your outfit doesn't matter as much, I'm sorry, it's so visual now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like when you're in full face and full outfit and you could maybe take pieces of clothing off to change the way you look or lose a prop. It just, it was one of the biggest things. And the men with breasts thing just really kind of irritated me. Cause all I kept thinking is, this is showing your lack of attention to detail, especially about the way you look and what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was some, I noticed Kennedy's most more than anybody else. Like, I actually wrote that down, had man boobs. Man had boobs. I was like, ooh. But it's just one of those, like you said, it's one of those details that to you might be minor, but it shows how you're not paying attention in some way. You know, if I understand from perspective of someone who does the, you know, I usually do a bodysuit to do my body. It's a center kind of cuts in the middle, blah, blah, blah. So when I put on that on, there's no half of it that can kind of be less feminine. It's all around surrounding me, putting me up in this shape, giving me a shape. You cannot put the breast in and kind of be half, but you still kind of get some lift from your body because of the suit. So if that's the undergarment that they chose to do their body, you know, shaping in, you're going to have to deal with that potential of, if I'm playing half boy, and like you were in this episode, you're going to have to do one or two things. You're going to have to not wear it or find some way to make one side a little bit more masculine. And I agree that Violet was one of the few that did that. One of the only, I think, that did that to the point where there was significant difference in her female and her male side, not just like the face.
Right.
It was physically different.
And that was the interesting thing, because even in Raven and Raja's fashion photo review this week on YouTube, one of them commented that one of their pet peeves was the hemline on the male side was too high because you could see that it was a woman's shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really when it all came full circle. And I was like, yep, that's what that's about. Like you're off. Like you're off enough that like there's something about the package I'm not buying.
Yeah.
And I think that there were two big things. I think that you had a breast on your male side and that you were wearing women's shoes. And I don't think that was a rule. You didn't have to.
Yeah.
So, well,
I will own that it is really hard to dance when there's a difference in like the heel. Now, right. You can either find a men's heel that kind of goes up and kind of gives you the same kind of size. Kennedy was one of the few, I think, that wore two distinct shoes. Like she had one, her female shoe was this very silver kind of like a heel. You know, it had a heel, but it wasn't the black heel that we saw kind of everybody else in. It was definitely a meant to be different, meant to coordinate with her female side. However, almost all of them wore a black heel shoe. I don't know how high the heel was, but it looked like it was not a men's shoe. It was a woman's heel, like a Mary Jane or, you know, kind of thing. It had the one little buckle.
Well, I think what they were wearing was dance shoes.
Probably.
I think they were all given a pair of dance shoes because it was a dance challenge. Hmm. And some of them never probably really thought through, oh, I should not wear this shoe, at least for runway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But even Violet and Katya, when they performed, Violet for certain wore a woman's heel when she performed.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember if Katya did as well, but you know, it's one of those things. I think it's, and now it is coming down to those finishing touches kind of stuff that gets talked about.
It wasn't distracting. It was just enough to break the illusion, like the side by side male Victor Victoria kind of look. And I know it's hard, especially with a shoe, to have a male shoe and a female shoe kind of be the same height and length so that you could wear them and dance them and walk in them, you know, without doing that clumpy kind of, you know, because I've got two shoes of different kinds on. But it's not impossible. You can do things to it. You can find a shoe to where they match in some way. Are you wear the flats like you mentioned, where it's not as awful. Yeah, it sucks to wear a flat if you're a drag queen, but at least you would have that. The look would be on point from top to bottom.
Right.
So
what are your hits and misses?
Oh girl.
Who you giving snaps to?
Okay. My snaps go to Katya and Violet for their dance, their performance in the challenge. It was very well done. It was hands down the best, and I'm glad they won, because it was one of the ones that was stunning, looked very well done, and looked like it was executed very well. Vogue is not a difficult dance because it's meant to be kind of this thing, and there's some experts that kind of have this specific way of doing it. But tango is a harder dance. So I like that they added some of the things that I know from my So You Think You Can Dance watching, of like the little like kicks in the that they do around the legs and all those fun little things that they did. It was very well nuanced that I enjoyed. So I enjoyed their dance. And then my other snaps is to Ginger for her lip sync performance. Show Me Love, which I believe is CeCe Peniston. I'm thinking of CeCe Peniston, is one of my favorite songs growing up. It was just such a great song. And she slayed with that lip sync. I knew she wasn't, like you said, she practiced. She knew she had a feeling she was going to be in the bottom. So she took the time and effort and energy to run that song and run that song. And you saw her in the untucked, kind of off in the corner, kind of doing things with it and having fun with it and lip syncing it. And I'm just like, yeah, it showed that you did all that work because there was no competition. All props, kisses to Trixie, but no, you were not going to win that lip sync. And if you did, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious to me that Ginger was going to win, and the moment I knew she was going to win was about 5-6 seconds in, and she spoke directly to Rue. When she was lip syncing, she has this move, and I don't remember what the lyric is, but she does this thing, and she like points, like kind of gestures her hand right at Rue, and is like talking to Rue. And then, of course, now granted it's editing, but I mean, like, Rue responds to that. Like, mm-hmm. She was definitely keeping Rue's attention, but then she also threw in some fun humor.
Yeah.
A couple of times. I mean, because that's what Ginger does. I mean, Ginger is a performer, and I know her for her lip syncing and having seen her, in person. And I'm like, girl, got it. Now, what made me laugh was, I want to take a sidebar for a quick moment. In Untucked, Violet and Trixie both say to Kennedy, if either of us are lip syncing against you, we're out. Like, we're just going to go home. Like, we're just going to go to the workroom, pack our shit and go. Fuck this. Like, we ain't even going to try. Which I thought was funny because they were basically saying, I think in a really polite, non-racist way, girl, you black, we know you how to lip sync and you know how to dance. You're going to burn the motherfucking house down.
Yeah.
I ain't even going to.
I'm just going to be like, okay. Yeah, I remember that. And I was like, I had forgotten for a second what the song was. And then I looked down while I was watching the Untucked, and I looked down and I was like, oh, it's Show Me Love. Oh, that's why they're saying that.
Yeah. And honestly,
it's not just the race thing. It is also, that is a signature song for like some of the queens of the, like, that if you're like born and raised around the 90s, that's like a song that you probably listened to and danced to and probably were lip syncing when you were a little girl with a rag on your head or like a t-shirt around your head and wrapped in a towel. You were like playing that song, dancing around your house with your mama's clothes on. It's that kind of song because it's a signature song. I'm wondering if it's, was it in Priscilla?
It was, I don't know if it was in Priscilla. It's Robin S. Show Me Love. There's a girl here in, that she performed it many times.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she was known for doing it. She also notably had a ponytail super glued to her head and would, you know, perform the shit out of that song.
Not CC Peniston. I knew it wasn't CC Peniston. Why did I
say? It's okay. It's another black girl. No offense. She, the girl here, and any queen, well, most queens, if they do it right, they evoke it, and it is just killer. Killer, 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 you know.
Killer. Yeah. And then I meant to put this also in the snaps, but I'm going to add it now. I will own that I am a big fan of Violet's confidence. I give snaps to her for that because it was one of those things that I honestly, you've said it already, her little note at the end about, you know, we won, okay, you know, I knew it kind of thing. It's just it's very much there. It's so I'm giving her snaps because she is doing great. Eye rolls for me. On the flip side of that coin, it was Ginger's lack of confidence that I'm eye rolling because you once again got in your own head that this was not your thing and that this was not going to be your challenge and you weren't going to win, blah, 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 woe is me. And I'm just like, get over it yourself. And I keep saying Violet, but I'm going to say it again. Violet was the one that said, buck the fuck up in Untucked. And I agree with that. We're at the top six, our top five now. Buck the fuck up. This is the time to shine, to keep winning, to keep that momentum going. And if you falter or fail, some girl behind you is going to knock you out the way. Simple as that. And guess who it's going to be?
Yeah.
And if you don't think Violet's got her eyes on you, Ginger, you might want to check the rearview mirror. And then my other two eye rolls have to deal with Trixie. My first one is her blame game. Her in the Untucked and partly, you know, kind of ultimately blaming Ginger for her leaving the challenge. And I kind of was, I'm over that. You know, this is, yes, you were putting the team unfairly, you know, by someone else. But once again, you had the opportunity to do this and you had the opportunity to work on it and work on the challenge. You're the one that felt like you were going to win. You were not that great. I don't care how you felt about it. You were not that great in the dance. So you might want to be careful with that. And my final thing about Trixie was there is a posture that she takes sometimes when she's being critiqued. And she kind of has this like half kind of leaning on herself, half kind of, you know, log down kind of look. And it just looks terrible, girl. Your mouth looks a little open. It just looks like you're like, I don't know. Are you tired? Do you need a nap? Like, are you okay? Like, can you breathe, honey? Do we?
Well, I agree with you on that. And you know who else is guilty of something? Mm. Not that I'm trying to, like, you know, jump on anybody. Katya. She has this comedic, like, body presence issue.
Yeah.
So when her and Violet win, she is gobsmacked. Like, she is just floored that she won with Violet, even though she did in confessional say at the beginning of the episode, hell no, I'm not being teamed up with you. Well, only if we win. Yeah. Like, only if you help me win. And, you know, which I think the confessional is taped after she already knows that they won. So, So anyways, she's gobsmacked. And then, you know, Rue continues to talk about what they're winning. And, you know, she says, fuck, like, you know, because she's so surprised that she has to compose herself. And Violet kisses Katya on the cheekbone or not on the cheekbone, yeah. on the jawbone. And then she says, you bitch, like, like you fucked up my makeup, which I thought was funny. But and no sooner than that, if you watch, she gets this hunched, like kind of like, yeah. like body posture thing. She kind of does this weird, like old crone face, like hunchback kind of thing. And no sooner than she does it, I'm like, knock it off, girl. Like, what the fuck's with the posture? Like, it kind of annoys me. She's done it several times, and I agree with you. Trixie has this weird thing, too. Like, yeah, you know, I think some of them are not aware of it. I don't think we would ever clock Kennedy on it because Kennedy comes from pageant. And Kennedy knows, like, you know, stick up your ass, up straight, you know, tits out. Like, you know, tits you get your shit together.
Yeah. It just it is, like I said, it just – I saw it when she was on the show when Trixie was on the show the first time, and I was kind of like, and that's part of why I wasn't a big fan of hers. Mm. And then I saw it again, you know, these past couple of times when she's been on the runway, and it's just like, it just looks terrible. It looks unprofessional is not the word I'm looking for. It just looks like you're tired. It looks like you can't hold yourself up. It looks like you're like Hunchback of Notre Dame, like ho 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 kind of thing. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for me.
You ready for closing thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
All right. My closing thoughts are about the end of the show, end of the season, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I think Violet is the top contender. Whether I like it or not.
Huh.
I have been in Ginger's house since day one.
Ah.
But Ginger is her own worst enemy, and she's getting in her own way. And unless she gets her shit together, she's going to be gone real quick. Because now it's about who falls down and who doesn't fall down.
Yeah.
No more of this pick yourself back up, because there's no more picking yourself back up. Like, we're down to five. About to be four. Now, I went ahead and I looked at the grid, and I'm doing some very unscientific stuff.
Uh-oh.
Based on the grid, I feel that the top three will be Violet, Katya, and Kennedy.
Oh.
Now, here's part of why. Katya has only been in the bottom once. Kennedy has only been in the bottom once, and that was at the beginning of the season. Pearl has been in the bottom two twice. So has Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger has been in the bottom two twice very recently.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was Ginger in the bottom two, then Pearl in the bottom two, then Ginger in the bottom two.
Huh.
So If there's a pattern to be said, Violet will last another week to top four, and maybe Pearl will be in the bottom two. Whether or not Ginger's in the bottom two, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Violet has never been in the bottom. She has now skated the entire season with a win in the first challenge and a win in the 10th challenge.
Mm-hmm.
She's only been low twice. She's been safe a lot.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I'm also saying that Katya and Kennedy could make it to top three is because they both have been high four times.
Mm-hmm.
High four times, safe three times, won twice, been in the bottom once. So if there's anything to be said about the numbers, about the math of this thing.
Yeah.
If past is, you know, predictor of your future, then both of them look really good to make it to top three with Violet. And then it's unfortunately Pearl and Ginger fighting it out to be the next ones to go home.
Hmm.
Now, do I want it that way? No, I don't want it that way. I would like to see Ginger make it to top three to have a chance to win. Whether or not she wins is up to her.
Yeah.
I don't feel this is like Darian last year. Darian bothered me that she was considered part of top four and she was allowed to be in the music video. And the reason why is because I thought she performed poorly in the music video. And every time that music video comes on, it drives me fucking crazy to see her fuck up the step in the music video because they left it in. And I'm like, really? Seriously? I get that she never got the step right. Because if she had, you would have used that cut. But come on. Like, so that's, I don't think it's the same thing. I think Ginger will do everything she can to make it. But I don't know. I'm fading on the confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I said, Pearl and Ginger, I think, are in the bottom. They're the next two to go. Fifth spot, fourth spot. Unless something changes, we don't know what's coming. I mean, you know, next week is a very strange, all brand new episode challenge that we've never seen before. I don't know if you've seen the preview, but
I haven't seen a lot of way through.
It's called Hello Kitty Girls. And the reason why
is because
Hello Kitty, as in the cartoon brand, is actually part of the thing. They have to make a runway look using Hello Kitty merchandise.
Huh.
Yeah, like it's I have no idea where this episode is going. It's never been done before. I'm like, oh, this will be, and the whole thing is about branding and merchandising. I get is the angle, which makes sense because we're reaching the end of the season, and that's usually one of the themes that comes up. Hmm. How are you going to brand yourself? What is your tagline? You know, how are you going to whatever? So
yeah,
I see how that's coming into play. I got no clue where the hell this shit's going.
I don't know.
And unfortunately for Ginger, it's another got to make an outfit challenge. So we'll see, but we'll see where it goes. So yeah, my closing thoughts are Violet is the top contender, even though I'm not thrilled about it. I give her props. I legitimately think she is a top contender. I'm not like, you know, throwing shade. I'm like she's going to make it unless she fucks up. And I think Ginger and Pearl are on the bottom unless they don't fuck up. So,
yeah. Yeah. So that's sort of what you kind of, that's kind of my closing kind of thought about it, is who you think is going to be in the top three, or who you think is going to, did I say top three or win? Let's let it go back down to the dot. Who do you think is going to win? That's sort of my thing. We're now at that point now where we can kind of make these predictions. I like your use of the grid and whatnot to kind of make a I will call it an educated guess, a hypothesis. I will go on my feelings about it. I feel the same as you that Violet has kind of become this contender that has done a really great job, like I said, of she was really high. She won the first challenge, and then she kind of did this weird little sort of skating through. She was maybe a bottom once or twice, but then she's kind of now she's starting to move up this angle, up this curve here, and she's making her presence known. And not only is she making her presence known, she's softening her bitchiness away, in a way, in a sense. Whereas Kennedy has kind of become, she's not a bitch, I won't use that word, but she's sort of letting her pageant side sort of slip, which is a good thing to do, but she's becoming a little bit more real. She's not giving those pageant answers, you know, everyone's pretty and world peace and na-na-na-na-na-na-na. She's kind of getting a little down and dirty, you know, with things. And like the whole sex thing was enough. But like, you know, last week's Untucked with the hilariousness of that and her like sleeping and it's just, it's not that she's not caring about the win anymore. She's not doing that kind of pageant. She's just taking it from a different angle. I think she's not, prettying it up for the sake of the camera or the runway or, you know, the officials and judge and whatever. She's actually sort of letting herself go and relaxing into it a lot more. Some things that some of the girls have lacked. If I had to pick my top, like I think I've already said, my top three would probably be Violet, Katya, and I said Ginger. But I now think it might be Kennedy, only because Kennedy has done this to me, like this change up where she was this really great pageant girl and girl. And whereas opposed to pageant girls that we've known in the past, like Roxy Andrews and whatnot, who have kind of become these bitchy, you know, bitches. She sort of softened her tone, like I used with Violet, and just kind of become this very realistic person that is not always polished, not always on point, and is kind of allowing herself to be a little bit freer. And that shows to the judges that you're not as uptight and uppity as you could have been. Katya has the comedy for her. Katya has a comedy and she has a lot of talent, and I could see her potentially winning only because of she's really, really likable. She's hilarious. She has fun with things. She's got the mind like a steel trap, everything just firing and back and forth and constantly going and going like that. And I could see her really, really, really doing well. So, top three. Winner.
Yeah.
If I had to choose right now who I think would win, I would hate to say it, but I would have to say Violet.
Yeah.
Just based on what I've been seeing.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. I will say this. I think if Kennedy makes it to top three, she got to be careful, because when they do the one-on-one with Rue, mm-hmm. if she falls back into old behavior patterns and she gives a pageant answer,
yeah,
in her one-on-one just talk / lunch over a Tic Tac with Rue's not going to be impressed and will probably be very annoyed with that.
Yeah, I agree. I want her to. I want Kennedy. I like the Kennedy that I've seen in the confessionals and in the Untucked and everything, where she's this. I keep using the word dirty, but that's, I like that dirty kind of thing, that tarnished pageant queen who has that, just that like down home kind of feel. She's, I don't want to call her ghetto, but she's kind of got that attitude of I'm good, but I'm also real. I love that about her.
Right. I wouldn't say tarnished. I would say she's very real. Like, she's shifted from the how I look and how I sound to I don't care.
Yeah.
I think she cares, but because this game, this contest has gone on so long, she's like, you know, does it matter? Like, as long as I apply myself and I do my best, then I'll make it to the end kind of thing. So, yeah. Very interesting in that case.
Yeah, so there we go.
All right, so we have a surprise kind of bonus this week.
Woohoo!
Damon knows what it is, so.
Yes.
If you're not aware, RuPaul and Michelle Visage have a podcast. They started it this year, and it's called What's the Tea?
Hmm.
And in that podcast, it's always RuPaul and Michelle Visage. And they usually, about half the time, have a special guest. The guest does not have anything necessarily to do with RuPaul's Drag Race. Sometimes, but not always. Sometimes it's just a celebrity that Ru looks up to, that Ru knows, Ru's a friend with, something of that sort. And then she and Michelle Visage have a talk, like have an interview with this person. But they always start the conversation talking off about like something between the two of them, like, you know, things that are going on in the news, something like that. They kind of turn the subject over after an advertisement to the topic of discussion. And then eventually they bring in the interviewer if there is a person. And then they kind of go back and so on and so forth. This episode that just came out today, literally, that I listened to. Well, I think it came out yesterday, technically. But I listened to it today. In it, Rue and Michelle talk about Big Brother UK. And that's because Michelle Visage was in the Big Brother celebrity house in the UK, in Britain. She was in that competition. She did not win. She came in fifth. But when you're listening to the podcast over the months that I have, this is the first episode after the British UK Big Brother show is over.
Huh.
And the reason why that's important is because they get into a conversation about what it took for Michelle to be on the show and how she behaved. Very famously, she and Perez Hilton had a huge blowout on the show over there because Perez Hilton was also one of the celebrities in the house. And Michelle got super pissed and basically said that he was nothing but a problem for the gay community and causes nothing but drama and blah, 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 blah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. And then he turns around and says that the gay community doesn't need her as an ally. She's no help. Oh, yeah. It was pretty ugly. Since then, they've made up, and by made up with air quotes, I mean they've talked to each other and they're beyond that. They've moved on. So they're still not fighting, but they're sticking by their sides of the story, how they feel. Now, in that conversation, during the podcast, while I'm listening to it, Michelle and Rue are talking about would Rue ever go on a reality show like that? Rue says no. Rue says, I fantasize about being on a reality show like that, but I would never. And the reason why I would never is because I would not allow myself to go there the way I want to go there. And I guess this is where RuPaul and I relate. RuPaul is a Scorpio, as am I.
As am I.
And RuPaul says, I am dangerous and I don't trust myself because when I get mad, I want to do things and I don't want to do nice things. Like basically I want to cut a bitch.
Yeah.
And so Michelle very interestingly in this conversation says, oh no, I believe if you went and did it, you would be able to keep yourself together, composed and not, you know, lose your cool and shit. And Rue's like, no. Not at all. And then Rue brings up, this is what this whole bonus material is about. Rue brings up the infamous awkward moment with Pearl earlier this season in episode 5.
Ah.
Now, to catch everybody back up, in case you forgot that was, I got a clip. We called this the RuPaul tete-a-tete. This is in the workroom when Rue is talking to Pearl and Max. It's the comedy challenge. And they're supposed to present those comedy awards. And Rue talks to Max and Pearl. And Pearl misunderstands something that Rue says. And it gets a little ugly. So let's listen to that first. Because then I got a new clip from the podcast about what was going on inside when this happens. So let's listen.
Now, you have a very big personality. Pearl, you do not have a very big personality. How are you going to overcome that for this award?
I think that I have a great personality, actually.
Pearl, you know, the reason I'm twisting your tits here is because you were in the bottom last week.
Right.
And I want to make sure that this week you up the ante.
Well, you kind of, like, told me I had no personality. I mean, that doesn't make me feel good or give me confidence.
Well, I'm hoping it will light a fire under your ass.
Is there something on my face?
No, I'm just not convinced. I'm just not convinced. And I want you to do well. That's why I brought your ass here.
It's so intense.
I never want to see any of my girls not live up to their potential. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah. All right. I will see you all later.
Thank you, Rue. I feel very uncomfortable right now.
Oh, thank you for replaying that because I'll say it after you show the next part because it says something. So go ahead.
It takes you right back.
Yes, it took me right back.
You are now in that moment of that whole interaction, right? Now, what we're going to listen to is Rue, Paul, and Michelle discussing on the podcast, which Michelle was gone to Britain for 4 months, and then she came back. So they had to take a big hiatus from doing this podcast. Now they're back. And what you find out is Michelle watched that episode.
Uh-huh.
And so what they talk about is Rue's thoughts about what was happening in that moment and Michelle's thoughts watching it, not knowing it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
On Drag Race, when Pearl said that thing, she said, what, do I have something on my face?
Oh, how you held it back?
Well, I held it back because I was thinking, this is what I was thinking. I was thinking, I'm a producer of this show. Because what I wanted to say was different from what I did. Because I thought, I knew she was going to be a popular character. Mm. And I didn't want to fucking go off and say, you know what, let me help you pack your fucking bags right now, bitch. Because you're fucking out of here now.
Right, right.
You know, I didn't do that.
No.
I said, no, you know what? She's a cute boy.
Yeah.
People are going to love
her.
She's
putting your producer hat on.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to let her do this
because
thing.
I was screaming at that TV like, I did not know she came for you. I did not know that.
Right.
And when I said, I was like, oh, hold on. Somebody needs to hold my earrings now.
Well, also, you know, I knew some of her backstory and her family life. I knew that there were things that I couldn't really come for her in a way. She's already vulnerable.
Yes.
And I knew that it wasn't a cool thing to do. So no. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to...
But that's why I'm telling you, when you're in there in that situation, and I saw Perez face to face.
So two things. I'm going to start with the lesser one first. When Michelle says, oh, hell no, come on, my earrings. Like, I was like, ooh, she is defensive of her best friend.
Yes.
She was going to come for Pearl. She was going to reach through the damn TV screen and cut a bitch.
Blah, gotcha.
Pearl. And so then the bigger thing is Rue reveals she was hot.
Yes.
She wanted to bitch slap Pearl in that moment, basically. I was so elated. I did the biggest little happy dance in my chair. At that moment in the podcast, I like literally stopped the podcast, rewound it just so I could listen to it all over again.
Yeah.
When she reveals and drops the F-bomb twice, which Rue has a potty mouth, but she doesn't like the F word getting out there. So I'm surprised they didn't bleep it in the podcast because that's rare.
I will say this, and I'm noticing it more now, and especially after listening to the tete-a-tete and then listening to the podcast. When Rue is heated and is like hot or pissy or pissed off, that poise goes out the window and the curse words come sliding in. She, you know, her one of the first things she said was, I want to light a fire under your ass. And it kind of goes from there. And there are some other things she says. And I'm like sitting there going, there's a curse word. There's a curse word. And whereas, you know, right beforehand, she was just sort of talking very, you know, normally, you know, formally about it, about, you know, well, you have a great, you know, you have a big personality and you do not have a big personality kind of thing. And it was just like, yeah. And then when Pearl reacted the way she did, you hearing that from the podcast, I now understand, like, she was holding like the levee. She was like the levee from Katrina, like trying to hold all this back, holding it back. And I bet if Pearl had said something else, like if Pearl had one more jab in, I think the levee would have broken and all hell would have broken loose. Cause I'm sure there was only so much RuPaul was going to be willing to take. And Pearl had that one punch in, and then she uppercut it with that other thing, with the other line, and then the something on my face kind of jab, and I was like, it all, ooh, ooh.
I was so satisfied to hear Rue say, I wanted to tell that bitch to pack her bags and go.
Yeah.
Because we talked about that. We said, we all were in agreement. I don't know if Richie and Vince were on that show or not. We all were like, we are shocked Rue did not eject her then.
Oh, yeah. Like,
just for the sass and the talk back. Like, just... Mm-hmm.
Bitch. Bye.
Yeah. She did not eliminate her then. So here's the interesting thing, though, and I want to know more about this, and apparently it's either going to come out later in an episode or somehow we're going to find it eventually. Rue says she knows about Fame's, or not Fame, sorry, about Pearl's background and her family situation and stuff. So she talks in that part of the podcast, and she never refers to it again, because then her and Michelle go off to talk about Michelle interjects and kind of talks about how she reacted to Perez Hilton and that, like, you know, basically, listen, when crazy's spitting in your face, you don't spit back. Like, you just, you know, you let them look all psycho and walk away. And so so they never get back to that. But I was like, all right, that's very telling that Rue says, I know about her and who she is. And like Rue says, I have my producer hat on, and there are two pieces that are coming to mind. One, she's a pretty face. Like I need to own that this is Hollywood, this is entertainment, and that she is, you know, going to be popular. Mm-hmm. And like, I think Rue realized that if she did eject her from the show at that point, it was going to be very divisive. It was going to be very black and white. There were going to be those in the camp of RuPaul that were like, fuck yeah, tell that bitch to get lost. And then there were going to be the other camp was going to be like, how dare you? Just because she, like, you know, offended you or pissed you off or whatever, you're just going to toss her out on her ear? Like,
who
the hell do you think you are? So I think Ru realized, like, from an entertainment perspective, you know, with WoW Presents and Logo and all them, like, I need to keep my shit together and not react to this.
Yeah.
And move on. And that's why she turned into Mommy Dearest, as far as I'm concerned. It was like, well, I will talk to you later. Like, you know, just very psychotically gets very quiet and, you know, just kind of like then walks away.
Thank you, Mommy Dearest.
Yeah. I was like, oh shit.
Woo.
So yeah, that podcast snippet, like, you know, listen to the podcast. I love listening to their show. They're not all winners, but they're pretty good overall. And this one in particular blew me away when she revealed that she just basically wanted to clock Pearl upside the head with a bottle or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm putting words in her mouth, but the reality is she was not happy.
She was not happy, but she put, like I said, I love the fact that she owned that the main reason she didn't do what she did was that it was, I'm a producer of a show. I'm here with this person who is ultimately likable. People will like her. People will think she's pretty, whatever, hot or whatever. So I need to think rationally about the situation before I irrationally go off on this motherfucker.
Right. I think that's a key piece of it is to say to yourself, I need to do what's best for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rue also may have had a moment of clarity, even though she hasn't said it, which is, I am wiser, I am older, I know better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to play this game that Pearl may or may not have been playing. Some of us may think that Pearl was completely, for lack of a better reference, being a cunt in that moment on purpose. I kind of think, because of the way the conversation went back then, you know, 5 weeks ago, I think Pearl honestly went the wrong way. She took the wrong turn at Albuquerque and completely misunderstood what was trying to be said and got all defensive about nothing to be defensive of, like not the way she was acting. So, yeah, I was like, No.
It's I'm glad. I thank you for sharing that. I'm sure it was. Yeah. It puts a new spin on a new perspective on what we saw that day and the reaction to that everyone was having. Cause I'm sure everyone, like you said, everyone was uncomfortable. Like Pearl was, or not Pearl, Max was particularly uncomfortable cause he was like pretty much in the middle of it. But you now can kind of see, like, if everyone heard that or saw that, or, you know, the producers and cameramen and everything else that were there probably saw that, they're probably like sitting there going, I wonder what's going to happen now. Let's watch. Like,
no, I thought you meant when you looked at your wrist like a watch, I thought you were kind of like in three.
Yeah.
Two, one. Boom. Like, you know, like they were just counting down the atomic bomb. Yeah, the atomic bomb that was going to go off on Pearl. But yeah, so.
Yes.
But that's our bonus material for this week. I highly recommend you go and check out the podcast. I'll try to put a link in the doc for Jeffrey to post with this episode on our website. Speaking of which, our website is cobsoutloud.com. And we do have an email address. You can send us some feedback or information or questions if you want to, cubsoutloud@gmail.com. And of course, we are on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. We have a Twitter account, which is simply twitter.com/cubsoutloud. You can follow us on there. And of course, on Google Plus, you can add us to your circles at google.com/plus cubsoutloud. And on Bear Underground, join the COL group or the Entourage. Be sure to say hello.
And we have a Tumblr.
Yes, we do have a Tumblr account. Not that we discuss it on this part of the show much, but anyways. on Bear Underground, I mentioned that on iTunes, rate us. Give us a thumbs up. Leave us a comment. We would appreciate it. Switcher Radio, also give us a thumbs up. Tell us what's going on. I've had a cocktail, girl. Give me a break. Speaking of which, my name is Gary. I go Bear Gibber 73. You can pretty much find me anywhere on the web. Bear 411, Bear Underground, Tumblr, all them places.
All them places. and I am Damon, otherwise known as Theater Cub 79 on Bear 411, Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet. I believe that's all where Theater Cub 79 is. I could be mistaken. If you find me somewhere else, let me know. Because I've probably forgotten about it and either need to delete it or check in on the site and see what's going on.
Nice. Well, with that said, we should say goodnight because it's the end of the show, kids. Have a good night. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Drag Race, Monday nights on Logo. See you next Tuesday.